Tiny City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Peter Maverick.
I'm Amy Matheny. This Queer Cast is brought to you in part by
Bud Light. Always worth it. American Airlines. Offering the GLBT community exciting vacation packages online at aa.com/rainbow.
You're listening to the Windy City Queercast. This is show number 139. I'm Peter Maverick.
And I'm Amy Matheny.
Hello.
Hey, can I send a shout out?
Send a shout out.
I rarely send a shout out, but I'm sending a shout out to Lori. Lori's out in the burbs here of Illinois.
Which burb?
I don't know.
One of them. Far away?
Near Gurnee, I think.
I was like, nearer. I don't know.
Near Gurnee.
North. She's to the north of us,
I believe.
She's by the Great Americas.
I think she is near the Great Americas. I could be totally wrong. She could be in Oak Park. I have no idea. But Lori.
Then she'd be by the lesbians.
Lori. Yeah, then she'd be by the gays with children. Lori's been listening
the
to
gabies.
Our, the gabies. The gabies. Lori has gotten a new computer. I've been listening to massive amounts of our podcast.
Really?
Yep.
Yay,
listened to like
Lori.
Nine of them last week.
Oh my
in
God.
A row. So she is desperate.
I can't even listen to nine of them in a row.
Yep. She's That's not impressive. She's not really around her gays right now. And I heard from her that she's been downloading and listening, and we are her lifeline. So
well, thank you, Lori.
Little
for
shout
listening.
Out to Lori in Gurnee, I believe, or Oak Park. I have no
you
idea.
You totally have
Joliet
to correct. You have
could
to correct
be anywhere.
Amy on this. You have to like.
I have no idea.
Fix put in the show notes.
I think it's
and
near Gurnee.
Like,
what's near Gurnee? Besides
Great
outlet
America.
Malls and Gurnee. She's coming to us from Great America.
Woodstock, maybe?
I don't know.
No, I think Woodstock is Northwest, and I think Gurnee. I'm trying to think along when you go along 94, what are the things you see?
I don't know. So, outlets, Lenox, China,
uh-huh.
Burberry Coats, Jones of New York, Land's End, and the Great America with the spider on it, which will be coming onto the big...
Oh my God, that's right.
I can't
come
on the big roller coaster here around Halloween because Halloween's just around the corner and all the candy is starting
Great
to...
Great America Fright Fest!
Yeah, they have that. They have that. Oh, now
one,
I need to play like
one
the Monster Mash.
Two. Queer cast.
Three. Yeah, good stuff up there. But I don't know. I don't really know that part of the... I know Northwest because I used to live in Palatine. So I know when you go Northwest...
Lori used to live in Palatine.
Oh, really? See? Oh, look at all these things we have in common, lady.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's a good thing. Well, shout. So I have to say...
Yes.
Somehow it has happened that many of you may know I've talked about this before. I know Amy knows that I write for Chicagoist.com.
Right.
I've just sort of kicked my stuff into high gear. So once a day, just about, I'm doing a post for them. I'm trying. That's my goal. Once
Good.
A day. So every day during the week, not on the weekends, mama needs to rest. And I wrote about the election, the Episcopal Diocese of Chicago. I don't know if we've covered this story or not. They have... set to appoint to a position of bishop for the Episcopal Diocese of Chicago, a lesbian.
Mm-hmm.
She is the very Reverend Tracy Lind,
mm-hmm.
and she's not going to be joining us, or she's going to be joining us if she's elected. There's an election that's happening later on this year, but this is a big thing in the church. Now, for those of you who don't know what Episcopal means, if you sort of take the continuum of Catholicism or Christianity, you've kind of got on one end, you know, you sort of got the Protestants. they're kind of all the way on one side. And on the other side, you sort of have the Roman Catholics.
Yeah.
Episcopals kind of dance in the middle.
Yeah. Baptists are way on the Protestant right side.
Right. Oh, so we're going to do right and left. Okay. I just want to say one side or the other because
Baptists could be way left because Catholics are way right.
But it can go the other way too.
But yeah, you loop it all the way back around and they're both on the right.
So we don't want to say right and left. But
yeah, they usually say like
side.
Moderately Methodist. I always think of Episcopals as being in there with
in
like
the
Methodists and.
Kind of in the middle.
UCC.
Yeah.
Which might be a little more liberal.
Right. Very, very generally very inclusive, especially in the United States. Mm-hmm. They were the first ones to elect a gay bishop. They were the first ones to ordain women as priests. And they really have been fighting the good fight, I think, for us. Well, you know, back in 2003, when they... when Gene Robinson, Reverend Gene Robinson was promoted to bishop, which that story I do remember.
He's a very lovely man.
Yeah. Just delightful. And when that happened, there was a lot of rumblings inside of the church, and some interesting things have happened now that Reverend Tracy Lynn is being considered as a lesbian. The first split happened in Chicago. There was a I called the article "The Split Begins: Congregation Separation." The first split of the Episcopal Church, an Episcopal church, actually they split their congregation split, and they went to a new one. And who did they decide to go with instead of the Episcopalians? Drum roll, the Anglican Church of Uganda. Now, the Episcopal faith in the United States is sort of the U.S., what do you call that? The U.S. province of the Anglican Church or the Church of England, as we know it. So, you know, just to give everybody who's listening a sort of road marker. Well, the Anglican Church of Uganda they play by some slightly different rules.
They're very conservative.
They're very conservative. And if you don't know, if you're a homosexual in Uganda and you're convicted of it, you can be, you know, sent to prison for the rest of your life.
Right.
So what they've done is they just elected the Reverend John Guernsey, who formerly of Virginia, who is now going to sort of govern over all the Anglican Church of Uganda.
Wow.
That has their presence here. Now, the church members aren't African. It's just a section of the Anglican Church, but it's being run out of Uganda. So this is really interesting that this guy left the Episcopal Church in 2003, right after Reverend Robinson was consecrated as bishop.
Right.
So it's an interesting thing that the Anglican Church of Uganda is now going to start feeding off of the Episcopalians and sucking over people who don't agree with homosexuals in the church.
It's happening, you know, in a lot of these middle... you know, this is a huge thing that's happening in the denomination in which I'm a part of, the United Methodist denomination. And, you know, this is a battle that we've been fighting as well. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because as a member of the denomination, the United Methodist denomination, I have gotten on some sort of mailing list. And I was getting these newsletters about quarterly, I think. And it looked like it was from the United Methodist Church, and I would open it up, and it had John Wesley, who's one of the founders, and, you know, a quote or something. But then you read, and every one of these newsletters, the entire point of this newsletter is to say, don't leave our church. Help us keep the homosexual element out of our church. And
really?
So they're extremely political, but they look like, you know, a nice little church pamphlet.
Yeah.
And being a Methodist, you know, I was like getting this thing. It was coming from New York City, New York. Hmm. And which most of the United Methodist publications and stuff come out of Nashville, actually.
Hmm.
A lot of them are printed.
Central offices are.
That's where they print the Upper Room, which is like a daily devotional type of, you know, daily reader or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, I got it for a while and I just let it come and would receive it and would read it. And finally, literally, it was just like a month ago, I got one and I read it cover to cover because it's always good to know your enemies.
Yeah. Know them better than your friends.
Yeah. And then I proceeded to call New York City. And called them and said, please take me off your mailing list. I believe in nothing that this newsletter states. And, you know, and then I took the newsletter to my father, who is, you know, my mom and dad are, you know, in Methodist Church in our hometown of Tennessee. And, you know, I said, you know, pass this around. Mm. See what anybody there thinks about this piece of hate, you know. And it it's just what's happening. It's you know, it's the next great battle. It has been, you know, there was a time period when my mother was growing up that it was the United Methodist Church and the United Methodist Church of the South. Mm-hmm. That was when segregation.
It was very colorful, the battle, yes.
Yeah, that was a very big battle. Then, of course, with the feminist movement, mm-hmm. And it continued. It has continued up until now. I mean, yeah. Obviously, the divisive issue of women being ordained, mm-hmm. women being in the pulpit, has, you know, been a big battle. And many people would say, you know, this, the homosexual divisive issue is the last great issue of American Protestantism. So yeah, it's a great story. I can't wait to read your post.
Yeah. It's just you know, and I've talked about this, this is always my mantra. I'm always saying this, but I love seeing the word homosexual in print. I just love it.
Yeah.
It just makes me happy. It makes me thrilled to be alive. And one of the commenters so graciously said on Chicago's Today, and I don't know who it is, and it's sad because this person just logged in as a guest, but the sentence was, "This is pretty exciting. I don't think that I ever expected to see a major religion deal with these issues so publicly in my lifetime."
Wow.
And
it's true.
It was so awe-inspiring to read those words and think, you know, to me, it was second nature. I was like, oh, this is a great news story. I want to talk about it, blah, blah, blah. And then when I read that, it sort of clicked into place like, no shit, because I Googled that story and it was everywhere on the internet. And you know, I think most of you who are listening realize that most of the news that's on the internet did not originate on the internet. It actually came from print sources, or it came from television media, or it came from AP.
Right.
It was not created exclusively for the internet. So most of the news stories that you're seeing, or even the news stories that we're talking about, they came from a print source originally, which means that millions upon millions of people that are not on the internet are still getting that news.
Yeah. Well, and we've done a news story about the Anglican Church of Uganda. You know, it's just a brief news story because obviously they've become quite a force. And when they broke
away,
they become a wedge. And as they have grown in size and power, well, I look forward to reading that. I can read that at chicagoist.com.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
I will do that tonight. And we're very excited to
It's good times we live in, and these are history making times, and I think it's so important to talk about that. And speaking of history, now this is just a horrible segue, but I'm going to go into it anyway. On the program today, we have such an interesting cast.
I have to talk about something because I'm burning about
really
this.
Get some cream.
I am totally burning about this, and I thought you were going to bring up another story, but we'll tell you who's going to be on the show in a minute, because Peter's excited. And I'm excited to listen.
Yeah, go.
I have a new show
that
I'm watching to see what's going to come. You know, fall TV is upon us, and in the next couple of weeks, it's going to be the juggernaut of me watching. My new picks so far that I'm very excited about are Reaper. I'm very excited about Dirty Sexy Money.
Oh, yes,
I'm very excited about Pushing Daisies, which has kind of been a hit. Some people either love it or hate it. And any show that's like that, and it's not on yet. None of these are on. These are just already starting to be set in my TiVo.
Okay.
You know, the new Dexter is coming back on, which I love, 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 love.
Dexter.
Oh, love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. About the serial killer.
Oh, that's right. From
Showtime.
The guy from 6 Feet Under.
Yeah, that's coming back. You know, Nip Tuck is coming back in October with all the lesbians. I mean, I'm so excited about television. I know y'all think I have no life, but I watch television a lot because I think it's more inspired than film these days. But I am, you know, people have been saying HBO is dead. You know, they've lost The Sopranos. They've lost all these shows.
No.
They have a
love
new show.
Changes?
No, they have a new show called Tell Me You Love Me.
Oh, that's it. Yes.
Tell Me You Love Me. And we watched it last night. We TiVo'd it and we watched it last night. And it, you know, we were watching it and Kelly was like, wow, there's like a lot of sex. I'm seeing balls. I'm seeing pubic hair. I'm seeing it makes Rome look like you never saw nothing.
Oh, wow.
Well, we haven't seen full on just standing there frontal.
Is this
like
about the therapist?
It's three couples. And there is a couple. It really is about, I've only seen one episode, so what do I know what the fuck it's about? But this is what I take it to be about. It seems to be about the nature of sex and relationships. And they're all heterosexual relationships right now, but right now we're following three relationships, kind of a power couple that's trying to get pregnant. and failing at trying to get pregnant. So they're having a lot of, they're having sex on a schedule, and they obviously care about each other, but this is obviously wearing them pretty thin. Ugh. A new young couple who is engaged, and sex is just, you know, they're new and they're going to get married, but they're definitely dealing with issues of monogamy in the first issue, you know, the first episode. But they're kind of having sex and, you know, they look at each other and they want to have sex. And then we have the couple that truly you can just see is sophisticated, is deep. This is the most interesting couple to me. Sophisticated and deep. They have two children. There seems to be a lot of respect, but they are in a sexless relationship. And what you have is Jane Alexandra, Dame Jane Alexandra, whom I love. You know, used to be the leader of the whole actors union, and brilliant woman. She is playing a therapist, a couple's counselor. And we do experience her and a slight bit with her husband. And of course, they're an aging couple. And
so they have the elderly perspective on sex.
They do. And we get to see them kind of. I mean, but let me tell you, we've seen everything from a hand job, meaning seeing the penis.
Really?
Kelly kept going, it's made of clay, right? It's made of clay. I'm telling you.
Has she never seen it? Oh,
no, but I just mean you've never seen it on television. In a film like this, you know, I mean, having a woman pull a guy's penis out of his pants in a very naturalistic film, you know, is, it's very fascinating in seeing women and
The glee that lesbians get.
Yeah, that's true.
I was like, that's old hat, girl.
I know it is, but I, for some reason, watching it on HBO in this context, and I've seen porn, it's just you're aware that they are pushing the envelope, and yet it seems necessary based on the story they're trying to tell. How is sex used? How is and yet it doesn't have a voyeur quality about it. It's really interesting. It's got an interesting tone. I'll be very interested to see it. I encourage people to watch it. And
it should
tell
be on demand everywhere now if the first one came out.
And let me know what you think, because I think it's going to be quite intriguing. It definitely causes conversation. I mean, Kelly and I had conversation about the use of, you know, just how you use sex or relationships you've had or what your judgments are of these three different couples, which is, you know, I can look at the one that has no sex and still go, wow, there's so many good things in this relationship. Like, what's this breakdown? And then you can look at the couple that's having lots of sex and I can go, yeah, but you know, where are they avoiding talking about things by having sex? And, and so like, you can see this whole dialogue. But the most fascinating thing was we watched it as the credits rolled. It's conceived by a woman, written by a woman, directed by a woman. And I was like, wow, I don't know who this Cynthia Mort woman is. I was going to Google her today. But
did you know? Okay.
So, but fascinating that, you know, because what Kelly and I did notice was there was a real equality of male nakedness and female nakedness. And a lot of times, I think, especially watching heterosexual stuff, you know, the woman gets shown a lot. The woman's tits get shown a lot.
Well, the censors say that more of the women's body can be shown than the men's.
Right. And this
is how the laws used to read.
This is extremely equitable. I don't know, fascinating, maybe. Indulgent, who knows, we'll see. But after the first episode, I'm intrigued, and I'm really interested for you to see it, because I'm always interested in your take.
It's interesting that you found it to be the way sex is portrayed, because actually I saw I watched Big Love extensively.
Yeah.
And during the Big Love, there were lots of commercials for this. And in fact, there was a dialogue in one. It was a fairly long thing. I think they had a short show.
I never
show.
Watched the commercials, you know.
I know. You just zipped past them, lady. But the director came on and she said, "This people are going to think this show is about sex, but it's really a show about love."
It does feel about love.
I'm sure, you know, this is, let's be real. Yeah. The Sopranos wouldn't have been great if there wasn't all the blood and gore and all the killing and everything. So this is the
shtick. I do believe that sex is a tool to love, or sex is an avoidance of love, or sex is used as a device. And we're seeing in these different relationships, because that's what makes intimate love, intimate love. Like, I can love you, Peter, but you and I don't have sex.
Right.
You know, that is the difference. That is what makes me homosexual. If I just loved a lot of men, you know, but didn't have sex with them and just had sex with women and I didn't love them, I'd still be lesbian, you know? So, I mean, sex is the great divider. It's really just all about who we're kissing on and who we're bumping with. And, that makes us gay,
right?
You know, I mean, the only reason we have a show, you know, called a Queercast, the only reason a community is based on who we choose to love and have sex with.
Right.
Cause we can love all kinds of people.
Well, we can also have sex with all kinds of people, but
well, we can.
I know that.
But if you were only having sex with women.
I knew I was gay before I was having sex with boys.
Right.
I knew that the kinship I felt with boys was way different than the one I felt with girls.
Right.
It was way
different.
But
you become full on gay or full on lesbian, you know, or full on queer once you experiment with that, I think.
I mean, you could
never have sex with a man and still be gay.
Right. And you can never have sex with a woman and still be a lesbian. But
right.
I think that...
But I don't think society would define you as that. As they might just say you're celibate or asexual.
Right.
But once you claim your sexualness, you know, you become the thing.
Yeah.
And I guess that's the point. Like, I mean, interesting. I mean, it is interesting. I didn't see that. So I do think it's about love and the fact that I can say I think that couple that's not having sex truly has such deep love for one another. Yeah.
Well, we'll see at the end. We'll see as the season progresses, because I think that it's HBO and the first episode is going to have all the ass and titty and dick they can get because they can.
Yeah.
So, and
we'll
now
see
I
if
have
it
to
continues.
Make sure I meant to set my thing to get it and I totally
hand
didn't.
Job. What?
Right. I was like, oh, she's whipping it out of who? You know, cause I like watching the straight porn. I'm not mad about it.
They're pretty people. They're
of course,
not
it's
so,
HBO.
But they're not so overly pretty, and none of them do you really know except one woman I'm familiar with, besides Jane Alexander.
Excellent. Well, you know, and that's the beauty of the new season. Of course, the ANTM is coming up, so America's Next Top Model is happening.
Yeah.
So, my pithy plastic little piece of
there you go,
piece of poof. And I'm not even going to be in town when it's on, so it's there's going to be an episode waiting for me when I get back. You better believe the
Isn't
first thing
nice
I'm going
to
do
have a little gym in your DVR.
Oh my God,
it's better, so exciting to come home and have presents,
new kind of toys and new kind of things like that. So.
So speaking of things new and a present to our little world, a little prezi that you had last week.
There's the perfect segue.
There you go. Anyway, it always is. Just put sex in the middle. It's
right,
always a perfect segue.
David's going to love
David
that
David would
part.
Love that, that I'm I talking know. About somebody getting a hand job. And is that Clay?
Like,
on the show tonight.
On the show tonight, I had the very good fortune to hang out. I literally crashed a rehearsal in the rehearsal space of the Jones. And for those of you who don't know, imagine if Joan Crawford had a rock band.
Oh, dear Lord.
Rock
Christina, darling, damn it.
With songs like I'm Not Mad at You, I'm Mad at the Dirt.
There you go. Comet
do,
Vomit.
Do the Trog. Do you remember that movie Trog? That horrible, horrible,
no,
horrible B sci-fi movie she was in, the poor dear.
I loved her when she did Supergirl and she went, now I'm really upset. David Sard is going to want to hire me if I continue to do my Joan Crawford, right?
They're good. There's an amazing genesis to this story, and it's actually years and years old when they formed this band or formed the concept of this band, and it's finally coming into fruition, and I'm so excited to see them doing it because, as I mentioned in the last show, Jennifer Connelly, one of the singers, they have what most bands do not have today. They are putting on a show. It is not just music. It is not just people playing instruments. They have costumes. They have ways that they move. They have these characters that they embody. And many people are thinking they're making fun of Joan Crawford, but they're not. It's really an homage to her image and
sure.
to what's going on. And it's just so amazing to see the fusing of so many different kinds of popular culture crossing paths in what they have. That's what I think makes them so just totally fucking cool, that it's like this punk rock sort of, but it's like a 60s happy band, and then but they're then they're lyrics about Joan Crawford, and then you got two guys in drag. Ed Jones is Carol Ann, her most adoring fan, and it's just the most bizarre head trip, but it's so satisfying. After they play, you're like, wow, that was really fun. It was just really upbeat and fun music. So we've got them on the program today. I had the chance to sit down with them and talk quite a bit about their thoughts about the lady of the hour, Miss Joan.
Yes.
And some stuff about their music. So it was just really, really an amazing interview. Plus we have news, because the news does not stop.
It doesn't.
It doesn't stop.
It's queer
ever.
And it's all the time.
And that's what we want to bring you. We're just so lucky to have these enlightened stories in our media. So
and to send them out to Gurney.
Yeah, right. Hey.
Hi.
Leslie, what's her name?
Lori.
No, Lori. Okay, I got the L right. Oh my gosh. You see
it's
how
the
short
L word.
My I can remember that.
There
now.
You go.
I can remember that. My short-term memory is gone. If I don't write it, you
well,
guys
least,
think we just talk.
No.
I have like pages of notes. Pretty much it's scripted. I have
no notes. It's just all in my little head.
She just bounces off me, rubber and glue.
Yeah, but Lisa's the L word too, but her name is Lori.
Lisa, Lori, Leslie, Lucretia.
Lindsay. Letitia.
Labia. I don't know anybody.
Lavender.
Lavender.
Yeah. Lavinia. Laverne.
Lydia.
Lydia.
Laverne. Oh, but I have a queer cast. No,
yeah.
So that was a horrible, horrible Penny Marshall impression. But we'll be back after this with news.
We'll be back after this. It'll be fun.
call us.
Find out what happened before Dorothy dropped in at Wicked, Chicago's newest smash hit musical, and the untold story of the Witches of Oz.
Popular, I know about popular.
Popular, USA Today calls Wicked a triumph. And Time Magazine writes, if every musical had the brain, the heart, and the courage of Wicked, Broadway really would be a magical place. Now, this Grammy Award-winning blockbuster has cast its spell over Chicago. Wicked, at the Ford Center for the Performing Arts Oriental Theater.
And nobody in all of Oz, no wizard that there is or was, is ever gonna bring me.
Call 312-902-1400 or visit BroadwayInChicago.com today. Because the longer you wait, the longer you'll wait to see Wicked.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Camouflage Suitmaker.
Mr. Camouflage Suitmaker.
Your amazing skills of deception can trick a deer into thinking we're just a tree out for a walk. Or a shrub having a cup of coffee.
Shrub having coffee.
Tirelessly you perfect your artistry. The squiggly black line, the blob, the slightly larger blob. All in spectacular shades of green.
Green, green, green.
Thanks to you, we look fabulous in or out of the forest. With a suit that can be easily accessorized with face paint and a few twigs.
Dressed to kill.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, Mr. Camouflage Suitmaker. Because when it comes to blending in, you really stand out.
Mr. Camouflage Suitmaker.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Culture Club.
Culture Club.
Culture Club.
Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Weird.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get
some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of September 10th, 2007, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Goodman Theater presents Passion Play, a cycle in three parts, a hilarious and unsettling trilogy about three small towns in three politically charged epochs who stage the historic Passion Play. Experience award-winning playwright Sarah Rule's epic that exposes the thorny relationship between politics and religion. Performances start September 15th. For tickets, call 312-443-3800 or go to goodmantheater.org.
Next Theater Company in Evanston presents the Chicago area premiere of The Busy World is Hushed by Keith Bunin. An Episcopal priest arranges a romance between her assistant and her wayward son. Faith, love, and loss collide in this provocative love triangle. The Busy World is Hushed is playing now through October 14th. Call 847-475-1875 or visit nexttheater.org for tickets.
Catchy melodies, divine moves, and gobs of hair product. Altar Boys is a hilarious, wholly inspiring musical comedy about five small town boys. Matthew, Mark, Luke, Juan and Abraham, trying to save the world one screaming fan at a time. Altar Boys opens October 7th at the Drury Lane Water Tower Theater. Get your tickets now. Visit alterboyschicago.com.
And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
And this is your Windy City Queercast News.
In Washington State, two transgender individuals were kicked out of the men's bathroom in a Seattle mall and were then ejected out of the shopping complex altogether. The incident led over 30 people attending the Gender Odyssey Conference at the Washington State Convention and Trade Center to march and even stage a pee-in on Labor Day.
I don't want to know what
that
means.
I think they went in and peed.
I hope so.
All in the bathroom.
In Suffolk, Virginia, Francis Renee White was arrested for injecting silicone into transgender patients at his home and not having a medical license. Two former clients of White have said that they let him inject the material into their face or breast area. It is not known if they suffered any complications.
Maxine Feldman, a lesbian folk singer who wrote and recorded the first song that proclaimed a lesbian identity, died of natural causes on August 17th at the age of 62. In 1969, tired of how the gay community was being treated, Feldman penned the song Angry at This 1 month before the Stonewall riots.
In Alabama, 21-year-old Robert Holly Lofton Porter received two consecutive life terms for killing gay man Scotty Joe Weaver. Weaver. Porter was the second to be sentenced for Weaver's murder. Christopher Gaines, 22, received life without parole after pleading guilty. Weaver was murdered in 2004. After the murder, the killers took the body to a dirt road and set it on fire.
The Reverend D. James Kennedy, a Christian broadcaster and pastor known for being against same-sex marriage, died in Fort Lauderdale, Florida on September 5th at the age of 76. Kennedy was the force behind Coral Ridge Ministries, and he created a political branch called the Center for Reclaiming America for Christ.
Vanessa Hudgens, Brainy Gabriella in the High School Musical franchise, has apologized for nude pictures of her that have surfaced on the internet. I am embarrassed over this situation and regret ever having taken these photos. I am thankful for the... Disney has denied reports that it will drop her from the film High School Musical 3.
MTV is airing a bisexual dating show, A Shot at Love with Tila Tequila. It's a show that will feature 16 men and 16 women who will compete for Tequila's affections. The show is set to debut on October 9th. That sounds like a train wreck.
Mm-hmm. Larry Birkhead and Howard Cage Stern, who both claim to have been the father of the child of the late Anna Nicole Smith, plan to sue Rita Cosby, the author of an explosive new book called Blonde Ambition, The Untold Story Behind Anna Nicole Smith's death. The book states that the two men had a sexual encounter. Birkhead calls the charge false and defamatory.
Pundit Bill O'Reilly criticized rapper Nas for his free concert for Virginia Tech students, calling the hip hopper show an abomination and saying that his songs are as violent as they come. However, Nas is fired back, saying that O'Reilly has a marketing plan. His is racism.
Actress Sherry Shepherd will be the newest panel member on ABC's The View. Shepherd, who has appeared on everything from TV's Everybody Loves Raymond to the film Who's Your Caddy, has guest hosted on the talk show over a dozen times.
So she beat out Kathy Griffin. Mm. That's how it goes. And that's your Windy City Queercast News.
Hi, this is Sandra Bernhard, and you're listening to me on Windy City Queercast. Cast your net wide, and who knows what you'll come up with.
We're coming for you.
We are the Joes.
Hey, you, get off your chair.
We are the Joes.
Fix your face and do your hair.
We are the Joes.
It's time to reevaluate.
We are the Joes.
You are the masters of your fate.
We are the Joes.
Why sit at home feeling all alone, watching your life pass you by? We've got the key.
And it's nice and giggly here. I am back hanging out with... this is wonderful. I'm very fortunate to have the chance to hang out with the Jones today in their practice space, and I'm hanging out with a bunch of wonderfully talented people.
It's a glamorous
class.
Who is this? It's gorgeous. There's crystalline chandeliers and marble floors.
Nice.
And
yes, we bought it at the Cheetah Sale.
Yay! The Cheetah Fire Sale.
I thought it smelled like Splash and amphetamines.
I'm standing on a treadmill right now. I am joined by Aaron Smith on drums, Taylor Ross on guitar, David Serta, who talks in a mic or something, Ed Jones, who plays the keyboard, and Jennifer Connolly, who is yet another songstress on the microphone. Thank you, everybody, for letting me crash your party.
Well, thanks for coming.
Our pleasure. So, I, you know, when I heard about this, I thought, oh yeah, that smells like David Serta, something about Joan Crawford. How did this get started? Tell me the origins of the Jones.
Well, the origins of the Jones.
And Aaron was involved in it as well. In the beginning, yeah. Writing? So.
Actually,
I'm sorry, let me shut up and let you answer the question.
When David and I were doing Scary, we were working on songs and putting those together, and Aaron was going to be part of the live band for the show, and I had brought, so that's how Aaron kind of got involved with David through me, and then it kind of took off from there, and Aaron developed his own creativity with Hell in a Handbag and stuff like that, but during Scary, David always wanted to do a band, and he had seen Aaron and I and other bands, and he said, I want to do that too.
Yeah, it's basically I think everybody's always wanted to be in a rock band. Absolutely. And so a couple of years ago when me and Taylor were working together, I wanted to do the Jones, And it was a Joan Crawford rock band for a benefit for our theater company, but just things got so busy, and we just never made the commitment to do it. And then finally this year, for our April benefit for Hell in a Handbag, we decided to go for it and do it. And Aaron had already written the song, and he wrote it a couple of years ago, right?
Yeah, when we were working on Scary, I had read all these Joan biographies, in college, and I was trying to remember all this stuff. Okay, I remember that she kicked her, and that she had a stitches, and then she, so I was like going back and trying to check the facts, like, is that what I read,
Norma Shearer did not get along
at all. Irving Thalberg kind of controlled her, his wife, Norma's, he was a producer with MGM, and basically, Joan was relegated to the thankless task of being Norma's back of the head body double in some of her early career work. So and she really hated them for that. And so there was always kind of a bitter enmity between them. So that's kind of where that came from.
That's in Mad at the Dirt, the song Aaron wrote. And then when we decided we were going to do it, I wrote the first song I think I wrote was Joan Crawford Goes to Hell.
Yeah, I think that was the first song.
And I based it off the name of a play I wrote about 10 years ago with another theater company we were with. And we did it, and it was a big hit. And it was just Joan Crawford Goes to Hell. And it was basically about Joan Crawford dies, goes to hell, and is forced to watch Mommy Dearest with the devil.
You came over and we started working on Mad at the Dirt. You said we had this benefit coming up, and then you said, "Oh, I better write some more songs." And I started playing around with some riffs and some changes for you. And then you had some more to put together. And then we shopped it here with just the three of us.
Right. I would sing into it. I'd do my usual thing. I'd sing it and go here I come, Diva Primo, I got my Adrian on, I got my limo, just say, oh, I want this to sound like the Dickies meets Spice Girls, I don't know, something like that. I tell them like what kind of sound I imagine it in my head, and then Taylor translates it, and him and Aaron work on it, and the songs just started pouring out,
They can't hold the floodgate back. Yeah. So out of the three of you, how did you get Jennifer and her over there, Ed Jones?
We needed someone to clean up the mess around. We
needed a maid.
Yeah, well...
In the microphone, okay.
That's not fair, not mine.
The first play that I did of David's was Joan Crawford Goes to Hell, and in the play I played Carol Ann. Mm-hmm. So
who is? For people who don't know.
Carol Ann's the housekeeper that from the movie Mommy Dearest. And
she was a social secretary too, wasn't she?
Pretty much, yeah. Like the way it was written. Yeah.
She's our number one fan.
Mm-hmm. She's a big recognizable figure to people familiar with Mommy Dearest, Carol Ann. And Ed's just very talented, and he's very funny, I thought he would be good in the band, and even though he didn't really play an instrument when he started, I was just like, he can sing backup, whatever. Yeah,
right. He wears a good dress.
Keyboards and stuff now.
But Ed learned to play keyboards just for the band. What a method actor.
Yeah. It was like an actor. Like, I'm playing the part of
a keyboardist.
We turn
the mic off, you don't have to talk into it anymore.
He's just used to it. It's more than prop.
Oh, well, come on. This is live radio podcast.
In front of it.
He's at home with his microphone. Hi, Ed.
Hey, good morning. Catch you later.
This is your microphone.
Slayful. And Jennifer, how did you get tied up with these crazy kids?
I have no idea. I've done shows with David and Ed. I think the only reason I was asked into the band was because of my eyebrows.
Maybe.
I think David sat down and went, who's got the most bushiest eyebrows that I've always envied? Jennifer Connelly.
They were bushier.
I know.
Thanks to me, they're not.
Seriously, he's very serious.
Did you talk her with like...
No, during Judy Garland's Scary Little Christmas, he actually forced me to go to somebody to have my eyebrows waxed. And I was so scared because I was convinced if I fell asleep during rehearsal, like, you know, you get so tired on tech week and so forth, that I'd wake up and my eyebrows would be gone and there'd be David sitting there with a little, like, yeah, and then running away.
He'd be like weaving.
And I think sort of even said to me during Judy's Scary Little Christmas, I'm going to have I'm the only one allowed on stage with the bushiest eyebrows. This will not do.
But now, ever since, she's been hooked.
I've been hooked. I maintain my eyebrows.
Yeah. Yay.
Yeah.
Thank
you, David Serda.
She's inside an upside down musical.
Excellent.
And so that's, she's got a great voice, and we're pushing her to sing to her rock limits, into going into rockin' territory, you know?
It's kind of fun.
She used to sing in jazz and cabaret, and she's got a beautiful voice, but.
But we don't know. It's like,
is he actually giving me a compliment? I'm really not sure.
Well, like with Dave, you know, with all David's compliments, there's a hand to give it and a hand to take it away. So, just wait for it, honey.
I just think
but it was the eyebrow.
Whatever. Yeah. It's the
but,
eyebrows. Yeah. But she's got the look. Yeah.
She said yes right away. She didn't even
That's
ask.
That's my reason.
Like, what's it sound like? Oh, she didn't even say, like, well, what is it? She said, okay.
Well, I do anything for you, you know.
Aww.
That's loyal. That's love. What? Except for sex, because...
Ew.
Yeah, exactly.
We've had sex many times.
We don't want to ruin the band.
Damn, I know how you've had sex many times.
Oh, come
times.
On. Hey. That would make for some great music.
But that comes later.
Right.
Like Fleetwood Mac. Yeah.
Fleetwood Mac, you know, Mamas and the Papas, right. All that kind of good stuff.
Blondie.
So why Joan Crawford? I mean, there are so many sort of legendary ladies out there.
Why
Joan?
Why not?
Well, convince me.
How not Joan?
Joan was the greatest movie star ever of all time. I love Joan Crawford. I just love her.
And she's very iconic.
We're not really making fun of her. We're really paying tribute to her. A lot of people think, oh, Bobby Jarrett, wire hangers. We really love Joan Crawford.
Yeah, I was pretty pro-Joan, actually.
Yeah, and she kind of embodies the rock and roll spirit. Mm-hmm. Just take charge, woman doing things her way.
Nobody figured out.
Reinventing herself constantly. Like, she was, you know.
Did you about to say, like, Madonna?
Madonna. Oh, yeah.
Yay.
Well, and if you think about it another way, she was the original Angelina.
She's a survivor, right? She was Angelina, Madonna, all wrapped up in one.
They're getting all their good material from her.
Joan was very.
Cutting edge.
She left a lot of most of the money in her will to charity, to the United Way and stuff.
Excellent.
She also is, like, the most, I think, as far as, like, why her, I think she's one of the most recognizable as far as, I mean, she's very iconic, and I think because of
classic
the dearest, you know,
stars.
There's a
besides
of
Marilyn Monroe,
right,
of
and there's a, well, but I mean, as far as, like, you know, I think because of Mommy Dearest, you know, it became a parody of Joan, and so really it kind of lent itself to, you know, a lot of cultural sound bites. And it was just there. It's just low hanging fruit, honey. You just have to pick it. So there we were, you know.
Just got to take it. So, explain for people who haven't seen you guys before what the band is like, the concept. Because we've sort of talked about how it came together. We've talked about why Joan, but what's the concept behind it?
Glamour in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm. Tell people about the songs.
Me?
I'm looking at a shoot. No. Whoever, the floor is open.
Well, you turn my mic off.
I don't have a mic either. The Jones is sort of like, it's part, sort of like a theatrical, glitter, glam rock, new wave experience. It's sort of, it's rock and roll, but it's also a show. Mm. And you go to, it's sort of like punk rock Vegas glam explosion.
Review.
Yeah, right. And we have a philosophy, we have a concept, and we... When we're on stage, we're Davy Jones, Jennifer Jones, Ed Jones, Aaron Jones, Taylor Jones, and George Jones, our bassist, who couldn't make it today. He's been a good father. His son's birthday today. And so, it's, you know, we want to entertain. Mm-hmm. You know, it's great seeing, like, four guys on stage with the guitars and drums, and they're very talented musicians, but they just have, you know, they're wearing their t-shirts and jeans and moaning. Who gives a shit? Maybe on the, you know, maybe if you want to go to Poplar Creek to see Dave Matthews, that's fine. But when I go to see a show, I want to be entertained and I want something to look at.
No, I think that's one of the things that has happened when we've played different, certain venues, is that they like us because we are so different. And I always, you know, we have like the 60s garage band sound. But I think we really stand out because of the act, you know, because of the visual aspect, because it's all these things all together, as opposed to,
right.
You know, we're not trying to compete with the 20-somethings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not at all.
Yeah, we're just doing our own thing, and people really are connecting into that and love it for that. You know, right. There's a purity. A
lot of the young kids. we've got the emo kids and the
cutters.
The punks and the 40-something gay crowd and the hip urban hipster people.
And it's really surprising how many younger people, like when we played certain gigs, you know, with other bands, how many of the younger people have really taken to us.
Yeah, and we do original music, too.
Yeah.
Excellent. Aaron, for you, I know you've been involved in other bands. What's different about this experience?
Well, I think the thing that's the most different for me for this experience is, first of all, it was such a long time in the planning stage, so we knew what we wanted it to be you know, before we started. And also, in the other bands, with the exception of Taylor, I didn't really know... Well, and Gary. I knew Gary from Flesh Hungry Dog. I knew him first, and Larry from Chorus. I used to sing with Chicago Humans Chorus.
Edit that out.
I said used to, but I knew, you know, so he kind of recruited me into that, and Taylor and I have kind of worked together in other bands, but other than that, I didn't know any of the other people before we started, and this time I kind of knew everyone. The only person I'd met Jennifer, but didn't really know her, I hadn't worked with her on a show, but I knew who everyone was, and so to me, I think there was a tremendous level of trust this time.
People are going to fuck with me.
Aaron and I have worked together in about 4 or 5 different bands,
yeah.
Or different things, and so we read each other really, really well.
Yeah, it's easy to write together.
And, because Aaron, or even David, you know, after going through Scary, David comes over and he kind of gives me these fragments.
This is what we're doing.
You know, he gives me these fragments, and then I start writing all this other music around it.
Right,
And it just, sometimes it gels immediately or after about 5 days.
It's interesting version.
Right. And then, but, you know, it's all that I call it. Writing music for me is like sculpture lots of times. You shape it, and then you step back and you go, that's not quite right.
It's more like Matt and then one day it pops.
And then one day it pops.
And you do have to go through that. It's like, you know, sometimes you don't know right away how it's going to...
Although, like, when you brought over the, you know, the words for Red at the Dirty, you said, okay, I just want this kind of talking, and then over here I want this kind of, you know...
I want this sound, I was like...
I immediately went, oh, okay, blah, 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 and just, you know...
We had a I think we did that in one night.
I think
it was an hour and a half, and we just had this... He handed me the CD, and we were done.
Nice.
And it was like, wow. And I took it home and listened, like, this sounds pretty good.
Excellent.
Well, I like work. I think when it's immediate and it comes to you and you just, boom, fastest, I think, is the best.
Yeah, right.
You know,
too much salt.
People who, do 100 takes in a studio.
Well, it gets tired,
It just doesn't have that immediate, that rock and roll immediacy.
Yeah, so. It's not fresh. Jennifer, what music background did you come from?
I come from jazz.
So now you're in a rock band. What's that doing to your pipes? What's that doing to your... Are you still singing jazz as well, or is it hard to switch over your voice? Or? Like, physically, they're both demanding in different ways.
But they're both making a presentation of a song. Mm-hmm. Which is one of the things I like about the Jones, is that someone's not just plunking on a guitar and singing into a mic, or actually presenting the song, the beginning, the middle, and the end, so forth. I also sing with the Clark Street Band. And I also sing with the Reunion Jazz Orchestra. Both of them are jazz! Stop it, Ed Jones!
Ed is scratching himself at the moment in weird places.
God, Ed, that's disgusting.
You think you're respectable, don't you, by singing jazz?
I wish this were video.
I just like to perform.
But she is really, really engaging to watch if you ever have a chance to go see... Like the Clark Street Band, or I know we saw that at Market Days.
I hate to say it, but even though I'm standing next to her on stage, I think she has more of an opportunity to do that and emote than she does with the other stuff that she's
doing. That's true, exactly.
Because they're different.
Because it's hers. I mean, these are her.
Rock is more.
So my only goal is to emote. No matter what I sing, I want to emote. I want to walk off the mic dripping in emote.
Lovely. Like a snail, leave a trail.
Yes, so in the Jones, I can do that as well, which is very nice.
Excellent. Ed, why did you start playing the keyboard? What's
because
about
made him.
Because I wanted
you
to
must play!
Because I needed something to do.
scratching himself.
Necessity is the mother of invention, isn't it?
Well, we were a little light. A little light on instruments and a little heavy on vocalist. We had three vocalists just standing in front of it. It just appears that I'm talking into the mic.
Okay, Oprah.
You're talking in the mic. Just give it up.
All right. I'll put it aside.
There. Happy.
We had Aaron and Taylor as our musicians, and we had three vocalists. So we needed to fill out the sound. So.
Yeah, because I always wanted to have like a cheesy 60s toy organ sound. Yeah.
And we tried that. It
didn't work.
No, we still do.
But this time it doesn't. This time it sounds like glitter cheese. It's good. Actually,
you know, you gotta let them try the ideals, though.
Yeah. I wanted a keyboard too. I've always liked keyboard. Bands.
I was excited.
I grew up on new wave.
Yeah. And I was excited because I'd always wanted to have a keyboard in a band. None of the bands that we ever had a keyboard. We just never had one. And so to me, it's really exciting to actually be playing with what I consider a full band, finally. I mean, they were full bands in their own way, but to have the sound that keyboards can make, it does fill it out. Keyboards have a different sound than no other instrument. Well, there's some effects boards.
We're gonna get Ed up on the xylophone next.
When you wheel out the Hammond B3, baby.
I'm gonna be sure.
So what's the goal here? Are you guys doing this just to have fun? Is there a
fame,
goal
fortune,
in mind?
And retirement money.
We're gonna change the world.
I'm serious. Is this just art? Do you guys enjoy playing the characters, or
we enjoy it, but I think as a progress, I think we want to try to take it as far as we can reasonably take it, and just, you know, be able to tour, do some mini tours around areas of the country we think would accept us. Like, I know, like the West Coast, like San Francisco and New York, and
the Tate Gallery,
Austin,
or the Taint Gallery,
That would be great. That would be cool.
You know, just to various places, do a video. Get our stuff out there. Do a CD, and it's with the information, with the digital age now, it's a lot easier for people, for you to be heard and you to be seen, and
everything's so YouTube-ish.
Right, and do a CD and see what happens. Get some people. Get some Joan fans into our Joan Nation.
Joan Nation. So tell people where they can find you folks online on the internet.
Manhunt.
Manhunt.
That's a Carol Ann.
Wait a second. Is it internet or internets?
It's internet.
Internet.
It's internet.
He said S.
It's internet.
For our purposes, it's internet. Just play around.
MySpace.com, the Jones Band.
Thank you, Mom.
.com/thejonesband
Or thejonesband.com.
Excellent. And what's the next gig that you guys have coming up that people can go to in the Chicago?
We're playing the only straight club on Halsted Street.
Are they straight?
Yeah, Town Hall.
Oh, really?
Town Hall Pub.
I didn't know that was a straight club.
September 20th.
Thursday.
Come out, Joan Nation!
And it's going to be with two really fun bands.
Yes, there are. And I can't.
But you guys are the funner one.
No, they're really cool.
We heard their stuff, and they are really cool.
I really like them. The Pon Pons.
Yeah, it's the only one at the house.
They're all local bands.
They're local.
Excellent. Well,
and Town Hall Pub is next to
Nookies.
Nookies.
At Buckingham and
House. And then October.
It's a straight pub?
Shut up. On October 27th, we'll be part of the Hitchcock Halloween party with Helena Handbag Productions at The Spot.
Are we getting paid for that?
We're not going to record the answer to that one, but folks, you have been listening to The Jones. It is thejonesband.com or on MySpace. It is, The Jones?
The Jones Band.
The Jones Band. All one word.
Band. Aaron Smith, Taylor Ross, David Serta, Ed Jones, and Jennifer Connelly. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome.
Thank you.
And thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This show is brought to you in part by Bud Light. Bud Light, always worth it.
And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
And Broadway in Chicago, for the hottest tickets in town, visit broadwayinchicago.com.
So that's our show. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Peter Maverick.
Please comment on our shows on our website and in iTunes.
The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it.
Windy City Queercast. Queer and now.
Watching your life pass you by. We've got the key to
the best and the brightest, served up daily by the sharpest minds in content delivery, Pod Show and Limelight.